What's your caption? What's your caption? Look at the picture. Think of something. Try and make it funny. Then tell us. What's your caption?
Scott is here, but before I go to that, I promised I'd talk to Rue. Rue, how do you say it? It's Rue, H-R-U.
Yes, that's correct.
Rue. All right.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, I got a pyramid already.
You got what?
A pyramid.
What do you, I proposed, if you're just joining the program, to build pyramids in Gary, Indiana. You have a pyramid where?
In my backyard.
And where do you live, sir?
In Gary, Indiana.
You have a pyramid. Explain.
I have a 9-foot high with a 6-foot base pyramid in my backyard. And according to the newspapers, my house already looks like an Egyptian museum. I think we got something going here.
Look at that.
Explain why you have a pyramid in your backyard.
Well, I'm kind of following an old tradition, and I'm just trying to keep up with it. You know, maybe one day we can talk about old times.
Okay. And you built this pyramid?
No, I had it built for me.
And it's 9 feet tall.
Yes.
It's 4 cubits by 3 cubits.
Yes. And what do you use it as a storage shed? What do you do with it?
No, it's a decoration in my backyard.
Yeah, and
it's a little bit on a little hill. It's got a little incline that goes up to the pyramid. Got 2 torches in front of it.
Tell them to send you a picture.
Yeah, can you send me a picture? I'll put it on my Facebook page.
Yeah, I'll text it to you.
And what do you think about my idea to get the regulation size pyramids put up in Gary?
Well, why it's got to be regulation? So you already got a model over here.
All right, but that's not going to do it. I'm talking about something that will jumpstart Gary, Indiana. You get a bunch of big pyramids there. People are going to come.
Well, no, if I get a UFO to fly over it, then I really have something. People will be coming from miles.
All right, well, we'll work on that after I get the pyramids up.
All right.
All right?
All right.
Thanks, Rue.
You're welcome.
Rue. Who's on first?
And Scott, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
And I saw your challenge, and I reject it. Thank you.
People with ALS can suck it.
Scott Stantis is the cartoon boy from the Tribune, and he did the ice bucket thing, and he videotaped it, as everybody seems to be doing. But you know you weren't framed properly, and the woman who was holding the ice bucket wasn't framed properly. Did you look at it after you did it?
Well, yeah. It's not supposed to be perfect. It's not.
I know, but
production value. I mean, it's just.
You didn't want to do a second take? That was it? You
were
busy?
You can only do one. You can do one. You get this.
Oh, that's true. You got to go refill
it. That's it. You're over.
Okay.
Yeah, there's rules to this. You know, it's not just some silly stunt.
You think this stuff just happens? Well, actually, well,
so you are not sending the check because you did the bucket?
Well, I sent the check, too.
All right.
I did. It's a worthy cause. And the fellow I mentioned, Frank Price, really was a friend of mine and.
All right, so I mean, there's no denying this disease, what it does, and how it really devastates families if you're involved in it. I don't have any problem with that, but this whole thing has gotten, don't you think it's kind of weird?
I think it's weird. I think it's great. I mean, it's raised, the last count we had was $22 million for research in this.
If you showed a number of people that have suffered from it, people wouldn't be motivated to send money.
I don't think so. I don't think it would motivate
them like
this. Isn't
that kind of sad, though?
I
mean,
terrible.
You have to do a stunt to get people interested.
Well, here's the thing. Pancreatic cancer kills, I think it's an equal or more number of people than breast cancer. But there's not a ribbon. You know, it doesn't.
I have been saying that for several days. The ALS people need to hire the PR people that represent breast cancer because they have found the angle to get everybody noticing.
Yes. Well, and everyone likes breasts, let's be clear.
Well, here he goes.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
I wouldn't have said that.
Is Bibble writing your stuff now?
Wow.
No, but your pancreas, it's not, you know, wow, check out.
Nice pancreas.
Nice pancreas.
But that shouldn't be the reason. I mean,
I understand that, I'm telling you. But one of the top pancreatic researchers gave us a talk once, and it was about that. It was, in fact, I think the number was significantly more.
But you don't think that people are donating to breast cancer because they like breasts?
I think they know what they are. I'm serious. I know it sounds stupid, but people know what they are. They see them. They're right there, and they have a great campaign. The NFL wears pink.
That's what I said. And baseball, pink bats, but whatever they did, and I know you're saying, well, we understand what breasts are, and we don't understand prostate cancer as much. That seems to be a weak excuse for contributing, if you want to contribute. Anyway, it's working for them. Great.
Yeah. Except you're telling them to just go to hell. You're not going to participate.
Oh, now you're putting words in my mouth.
Wow.
I didn't say go to hell.
He just says he's not going to. He's still going to write a check. He doesn't want to dump the ice on his head.
Yeah, and you also challenged who beyond me?
Yeah, Phil Ponce over at
Why did you pick him?
I know Phil, and both you guys.
Because he's on TV, so this way he can get on Chicago Tonight.
No, but both you guys have actually been guest artists on the caption contest.
Oh, that's right. He did one, too.
And Fernando Diaz, who is the editor of Oi, who's just a good friend.
All right.
Great. Marvelous.
Oh,
I understand that the caption contest, at least the way you told my one producer, Craig, that it's now back to every week, but
is.
I'm going to stay at once a month because I got a prize issue that I have to catch up with.
Okay, sounds reasonable.
It's not anything against you. It's just I'm working some stuff out here.
I'm sorry.
But it is
Where
every week in the paper?
It is, yeah.
What happened where they said it was once a month?
I was premature, apparently. People at a higher pay grade than myself said, we're really going to miss that. I said, well, I don't have to stop doing it. And they said, okay. So I'm still doing it.
Okay, and how's everything going since it is a separate company now?
The newspaper
is split off from the Tribune. It's its own deal.
Yes, and we have the, you know, debt and other stuff. So
I know you've been talking about that ever since. Well,
for 2 years he's been talking.
Ever since you've been on this show, yeah. You seem to like to drag that around. Have there been any people fired?
Not that we're aware of. Leading up to the split, there were like layoffs in different smaller departments, mostly sales, marketing, that kind of thing. So we'll see what happens. Apparently, we're now going to we currently have a vertical management style. We're going to a horizontal management style.
And this is an effort to sell the papers, no doubt, right?
Sure. You think? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're publicly traded under TPUB, and so it is a public company with shareholders. And I'm not sure what the rules are. We're all
free form, baby.
Can they sell one paper? Can they sell all the papers? I don't see why they can't.
If they get an offer that's nice for one, they'll sell that one, or for all, they'll sell it that way.
Okay.
That seems to be what is going on here.
You've got a lot of interest in the LA Times, obviously for people out in Hollywood. Geffen offered, what was it, 6 years ago? $2 billion. Whoops. Oopsies.
Didn't take that.
We probably should have taken that one. And so now we don't know. I mean, it's people are nervous. People in the newsroom are nervous.
As I would imagine they've been for a number of years because this erosion has been happening
for a
long time.
I mean, it's a running gag with Jim and I. As I walk in here, I say, you hear anything? You hear anything? You hear anything? And then, of course, dang, now we heard a little too much. So nothing to report right now.
No rumors about anybody interested in the Chicago Tribune, though?
Not that we're...
You always hear the L.A. Times, but never really...
Yeah, I mean, it's... The newspaper business is having a hard time.
Wasn't Murdoch talking about that?
Allegedly, and then he was making a play for, gosh, what was it recently? Time Warner. And that fell through, so maybe he's retooling and trying to get us in his sights.
Okay, so here is the deal. It was a cartoon of Rahm Emanuel, one of your favorite subjects.
He is fun to draw. He just is.
Running from a red light camera system.
Isn't that a fun drawing? I think it's one of the better ones. I like this one.
Okay. Well,
because it looks like it.
Comments on his own work. Now he has to compliment his own work. Well, that's kind of sad. Well, he's a bro.
It does look like a camera. Yes, it does look like a red light camera.
You did a nice job on that one.
I got a few good ones. I can't say that I got a lot of great ones here.
Let's hear.
If
Please.
Only I was Mayor Squeaky, I wouldn't have to run from the monsters I created. Okay. Well, moment of silence for Mayor Squeaky. Get back here, you chicken. You're just as yellow as the traffic signal.
Yeah, I got one similar to that.
Did you get
that.
One of those? Yeah.
I got a lot of, you can ROM, but you can't hide.
Right.
A lot of those.
ROM tries to run the yellow light in 3 seconds or less.
This is from Dan Hirschberger of Arlington Heights. I keep telling you I'm not Jesse Jackson. I just like someone chasing, law enforcement chasing him.
Oh.
What? Wait, is Jesse Jackson a victim of the red light cameras?
No, he's just a victim of law enforcement, if he wants to use the word victim.
Jesse Jackson is?
Junior, yeah.
Oh, Junior.
Don't say Junior here.
Yeah, that's why I was confused. Okay.
You're just assuming.
My apologies.
The old man's still around.
Vincent Boone, wow, Karen Lewis really has lost a lot of weight.
Yes. Pay dirt. Yeah.
Putting a check mark next to that one.
She's going to give him a run. This is going to get real interesting.
She filed the papers today, right? So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean she's definitely going to run, just that she's got the paperwork.
No, but if you look at the poll, she's got to think, well, it's not going to be a massacre if I do run.
And the National Union has said that they're giving her $1 million.
And the guy's not popular. Although, in Chicago, that doesn't mean anything. Like we said earlier, $8 million in your kitty.
Well, he's a little weenie. I mean, let's face it.
Well, we'll make it interesting, at least.
We thought he was going to be like, okay, sure, he's a jerk, but he's a competent jerk. Well, the competent part is gone now. He's just this unpleasant little man.
Yeah, he has no personality, which I'm not saying that's the entire package, but you got to have. Although, Mayor Squeaky, in his own way, I guess he did have a personality.
Yeah, he had the South Side
kind of thing
going.
But this guy is dry as paint.
Well, he's almost like Oprah. What? Whereas he's from Chicago, but he never feels like he's in Chicago or from Chicago. You know, he's here.
You know
but
what it sounds like when he talks? Is remember when Hillary was running for Senate in New York State, and she says, "We New Yorkers," and just going, "Oh, ow." I mean, if I was a New Yorker, but she still won. Think about this for a moment. Toni Preckwinkle, who has dropped out of the race, but if she had entered, she would have been the charming one.
Yeah, and I was going to sport her haircut. It's one of my favorite haircuts.
You
the
like
Preckwinkle.
That?
I love the Preckwinkle.
You can still do the Lewis, can't you? Do the pulled back.
The what?
The Lewis.
Karen Lewis.
The pulled back.
Yeah, into a ponytail. She's got a lot of nice real estate.
Yeah.
Got a place in Hawaii.
Condo made of stoner.
You know, condo in Hawaii, that's nice.
How
but,
much
you know,
does she make?
$265,000.
Thank you. Wow.
And you could have a place in Hawaii for that.
Well, how much does her husband make?
Who, Zeus? Oh, no, Zeus is the other one.
That was Preckwinkle's.
Zeus.
Zeus.
Call me Zeus.
Although Zeus got divorced from Preckwinkle, right?
Yes, yes, they did. That was one of the rumors why she didn't run. There may have been some funny
just
business.
Just think if it snows.
Zeus.
You know what? Isn't there an election in February?
Yeah.
Yes.
What if it snows in January?
Blandic, yeah.
Well, it depends on how they move it away. Yeah. Matt Murphy from Tiskilwa, Illinois. Today on Nature Watch, we have a native Caucasian American being stalked by its predator, the NSA. I don't have a lot of great ones.
No, I've got Jeff Gott here from Morton Grove. Is this funny? Red Rom.
Oh, Red Rom. Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay, so you got it.
From The Shining.
That's half the battle if you get it. That's half the
All right, well, what I'm going to do, I will get three. The first one, number one, will get a metal crucifix from Dave Novotny. If you are not of that persuasion,
that's awesome.
Then you'll get a Lumalnati's gift card.
You have his work in your office.
Yes.
Oh, trust me on this one. You want
in
this.
In fact, I gave away, when I did the broadcast on the 22nd floor, I gave away 7 crucifixes. One of the guys came and got his today. From Huntley, drove down from Huntley, picked up the crucifix, headed back, and
already
sent me. That's
an hour and 20 minutes.
Okay, he sent me. He already went back and hung it up. Oh. Sent me a picture of it on his wall. Looks fabulous.
Did that?
Did what's his name send you a picture of his pyramid yet? Because I really
who Rue?
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 I haven't seen it.
All right, Rue, send the picture. I want to see your pyramid. Do you have a backyard? I mean, I don't. I live in an apartment, so we don't have a backyard where I can build a pyramid.
Well. There's your goal. If you're not fired in the next year, get a backyard, build a pyramid.
No guarantee.
All right, Scott.
Thanks, guys.
Always good to see you. I will announce the winners on Friday.
And in a month, I'll be back.
In a month, yes. Okay. And you will announce the winners. Your winner or runners-up.
Yeah.
You can, in Friday's edition.
You can enter on Friday. Friday at noon is when we cut it off, and we pick the finalists for the voting. And then you go online, go to chicagotribune.com/caption, and either enter now or vote after Friday.
And the winner of Scott's gets a signed copy of the cartoon.
Yeah. Okay. Everyone's a winner.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Gary.
Do we know what was the winning caption for that blasphemous one that you did?
There we go.
No, really. Do you remember what won?
I don't remember off the top of my head. You've got like what, 17
you can
computer
go back.
Screens?
You yeah, can go
I
back.
Think I remember. It said Bibble
get over
looks
it.
Thinner in the cartoon than he does in person.
Bibble's a handsome, handsome man.
Oh yeah,
that's what I.
Man,
I got a lot of sympathy from him. Though.
Let it go.
Oh my gosh. Every WGN person who walks by me now sneers at me.
Right?
I'm not kidding.
Because?
I go, oh.
What WGN person? Who?
Well, one.
Don't mess.
Yeah. Don't come down for
Don't mess.
Please. It's only him sneering at you.
Don't mess, man.
Paul McCartney married a couple on stage.
Oh. Is he able to do that?
Yes, he has that license over the internet. He's ordained. And he got them up on stage. They're from Schererville. And the concert was in Phoenix last week. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Did they, I mean, obviously it was set up, though.
It says like, he pulled the couple on stage when he saw their sign that read, "You're ordained, we're engaged, please marry us tonight."
Oh, it was kind of an impromptu.
Come on
thing.
Up.
Wow.
Now, is he ordained automatically because he's a sir or he's a knight? Can he?
I don't know.
I think that's just because he's a beetle.
Right. He has all powers.
It's a beetle exemption.
You know of this Universal Life Church where you can just
I
send away.
I have performed five weddings.
You have that.
Yeah, I've got twin, too. I'm doing mine in January.
Really?
Yeah.
How many have you done?
This will be my first.
Oh, is this a friend, a family?
Yeah, godson, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's
You're
cool.
right. It might be because he's Sir Paul McCartney that he can just marry people. He
and
has
you've
that
done
power.
How many?
Did a few a number of years ago.
Have you really?
Yeah, at remotes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
Tom
awesome.
Skilling has done a couple, he said.
Wow, cool. What title did you give yourself? I'm the Right Reverend Scott Stannis.
I noticed that you could apply to be a bishop. I think you could be a pope, too. I think I sent away for that document once.
Oh, you plopped down.
I wanted to move up on the chain, yeah.
You always look good in white.
Yeah, and my scepter.
Well, you have the incense burning in your office now, so
you got to come down to my new office because have you smelled the incense in the lobby?
Yes.
Can you smell that?
Yes.
Yeah,
I told you.
For the first time today, because I've been burning it for a couple of weeks.
I know it.
And today's the first day I could actually smell it in the lobby where I walked in and I thought I was at Holy Name. That's me. I'm burning some incense.
Well, are you doing it for a reason?
I just have
just
it.
To
I thought when I moved
crap out
my
of
office, I found this box of incense and I thought, oh, let's just start burning this.
So you're down on first floor?
Yes.
And it's far down the hall.
Well,
for that to really go out into the...
But the office really is parallel to the main elevator hallway, and I think the ventilation system is pretty much all hooked up. It's probably blowing into that area.
No, I smell it more by the security desk.
Okay, but it's traveling down that hallway now.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I had...
How do your neighbors feel about this?
Well, everybody that walks in for the first time that doesn't know what's going on, what is that? Is something burning or... Oh, it smells like my college dorm. And that's the way it usually goes. So I was burning some vanilla today. It's really smoking nice.
I think everybody, did Marianne, didn't she say something that she wasn't too crazy about it?
I think Bob liked it, but she didn't.
Yeah, but everybody else seems to be okay with it.
Doesn't mean I'm going to stop if someone
They're
doesn't
only
like.
There for a couple hours.
That's
anyway.
Right. Then they're in and out. So I'm here earlier.
I wonder if that goes into the... Showcase Studio, when you were in the showcase. When you were in there showing your buddy around, did you smell? Well, you weren't burning it, though.
No. Well, actually, I was. I started as soon as I walk in.
I bet you if it's going out that way, it's got to be going straight into the Showcase Studio, too.
Yeah, that's nice.
Are you doing this
Gary's always around.
Yeah, speaking of Paul McCartney, I know when he would record in London, there was a studio, and there was a glass box or a glass block piece of the sidewalk, and the studio was underneath, so if the light was coming through that glass block area, you knew he was recording.
Oh.
That was kind of a thing.
It was in the basement?
It was in the basement of EMI.
Oh, really?
In London, and
wow.
Part of the sidewalk, like I said, had that glass block deal, and if the light was coming through, that meant he was down there recording.
Oh, that's neat.
That is very cool.
So when you walk in and you smell the incense, you'll know I'm in. That's how you'll know. So come on by.
I will come on by.
Bring a hookah.
Actually, I have my hookah. I have a hookah.
You do?
I do.
What do you smoke?
Shisha, which is just the...
Who's that?
Shisha. Yeah, calm down, boys. It's just it's what you're supposed to smoke in the hookah. It's molasses and a little bit of tobacco.
Didn't you just know that he would have a hookah?
No, I didn't. But
I did.
You look bring them by. That'd be
you look
I'll
a little
by.
Hippie.
Molasses and what? And tobacco.
A little bit of tobacco. Yeah.
And where do you do this?
Okay, your listeners are going to have an insight into my family that is really bizarre. I do it with my family.
Okay,
you have different
here
hoses
comes.
Coming off, and we sit around with my two boys, and we sit on my back porch.
So how many little hoses?
You don't have a back porch.
Well, not, but when I go down to my home down in Alabama, we have a back porch.
So your wife, you, and the
boys.
Two sons sit there and all suck
they all
on this stuff.
She will not. She does not like inhaling the smoke, but the boys do.
And so how many of those little hoses?
How you guys do it? Yeah. Great, Dad. Don't poke out that shusha.
Shisha.
More molasses.
Get the contact.
That's a true story.
In Alabama, it seems like you'd be beaten for that.
No.
Doesn't seem like it. I've never been to Alabama, so I have my image is from 1963 and the water cannons, so I might be off by about 50 years.
You're a little bit off. Yeah.
I was there for 12 hours, and I was glad to get home.
Yeah.
I'm just, no, I'm just joking.
Oh, come on.
I'm just joking.
They were friendly.
No, it was fine.
They probably loved you.
So it's a little more advanced than I would think.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, George Wallace isn't there anymore.
Well, he's dead. Yes.
That helps.
Yeah, it helps a lot. And it's probably...
You bought the hookah in Alabama?
Oh, yeah.
And is it outside all the time, or do you put it in the house?
Depends on which one. We have numerous.
Multiple hookahs.
Multiple hookahs. I have one that has a clock embedded in the stand.
Wow, you're a cool dad.
So we go, awesome. I just like.
He looks hippie-ish, though. I get that vibe off.
Yeah, I bet there's a picture now of you with real long hair at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, he's a cartoonist.
Not long hair.
Oh, man, I'm just going to make a living drawing cartoons.
But he's a conservative. So that doesn't even make sense.
So I didn't have long hair. I did have a majestic puffy mullet.
Yeah, and a bow tie.
Get this, in the ice bucket challenge, he's got a Ronald Reagan T-shirt on.
Yep.
Will?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm cold.
Yeah, Mommy. That hurts. Yeah. Thank you, Mommy. Hey, I got to let Leslie sit in your position there.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Shisha.
Smoke some molasses.
I'll bring some by. We can fire up the incense.
Thank you.
Yeah, bring some Led Zeppelin albums, too.
Wow.
Man, hookah smoking is very popular in the suburbs.
With the youngsters?
He doesn't. I kind of asked. I mouthed, "How old are your kids?" And he said, "They're adults." So
yeah, but they're like in their 20s.
Now, what suburbs besides swinging? This is the latest thing.
In Westmont, we've had a hookah bar for a while, and I've seen them all over the place. Naperville, I want to say, has a hookah bar, and
I'm going to start selling loose hookahs, some Lucy's. Some Lucy hookahs.
See, when you had Sabrina, you went too normal. You went for a regular bar. You should have went hookah 20 years ago.
Yeah. Terrific.
Put that in your pipe and smoke.
This partition they use now in England when there's a traffic accident and it's off to the side, they put this partition up so they don't have people stopping and backing traffic up. I thought of that 10 years ago. I mentioned that, and I got this text. It says I was driving outside of Boston. They already have emergency response vehicles with screens that extend out to block the view of highway accidents.
There you go.
I haven't seen them around here.
No.
How about the Great Wall of Gary? Or the Hanging Gardens of Harvey? Pyramids in Gary, Indiana, to jumpstart the town. Great attraction. 312-521-8600.
Well, it's not crazy when you think about it. The London Bridge is in Arizona. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
somebody
got it,
bought it
a long time ago.
Yeah.
Any chance of Ditka commenting on the Iraq situation? Leslie's News had Ditka commenting on the Redskins changing their name. His skin is so red because he's always out in the sun. He doesn't use any sunblock.
I can't believe he has never had skin cancer. Has he ever had a melanoma of any type? Because
I had him on the air once, and I asked him about that. And he said, "I don't." Yeah, he said, "I don't care."
Because his face is...
I don't think he uses any sunblock.
Always red.
Yeah.
Nose,
I don't know if it's...
Forehead.
Sun, high blood pressure, anger, whatever it is, it's red. And he's very protective of red skin.
His neck is very red, I know that.
Watch it. shut up.
Shut up, jerk. Yeah, ISIS. Damn ISIS.
You two sound like grumpy old men about this ice bucket thing. Way to relate to your listeners. That guy's been, or woman's been, texting ever since.
That's a great one.
The vacations, when that text came in. I haven't had a vacation in 7 years. Way to relate to your listeners.
But aren't you supposed to live vicariously through other people?
Yeah, that's what you're supposed
to
do.
Yeah, so we're sharing experience and taking you there.
Yeah, so you don't have to.
Right. We travel, so you don't have to.
Brad Parker told his father it was the happiest day of his life.
When?
When he proposed to his girlfriend on a mountaintop at Yosemite. But hours later, tragedy struck when Parker fell to his death during a climb at a nearby ridge. There's been at least one other story about somebody falling. That 8-year-old girl who was at Yosemite or Yellowstone, she was somewhere up on one of these little things and fell to her death. Can you find that story, Keith? I think I saw it yesterday. But I think there was a rope, and she may have gone around the rope. Hey, there's a reason why they rope these areas off or have signage that tells you to be careful. Because of the sharp drop-off. I know some people want a fence around the whole Grand Canyon. Because, oh, you go too far to the edge there and you'll fall. Okay, but the Grand Canyon is very big. You're going to have to use some common sense.
Well, how about the couple that did a selfie and fell off?
Right. There's that one, too. But then, yeah. And that was in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So how do you like that? You propose, and then several hours later, you're dead. But then this guy's a rock climber.
I mean, that's part of their deal.
He must have accepted the challenge.
I hope she had a prenup.
The risk.
Although they weren't married yet, right?
This was no, just proposed.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
No, I'm just saying there's nothing legal there.
Parker was climbing along without ropes on an established route when he fell. A longtime friend said, I have no idea what happened on that climb. It blows me away about what happened. Well, you're climbing without ropes. It's pretty risky. And one little thing goes wrong, that's it.
I know there's all the thrill and all that rush and all that, but now...
How about a climbing wall?
Yeah.
Where you're hooked up to a harness.
And you know, I did that one time, and I got about halfway up, and I was like, why am I doing this?
How high was the wall?
It wasn't... crazily high. It was high enough.
Yeah.
No. But I mean, I got I got halfway up, and I'm sitting there going, what is the point of this? Where am I going?
And you're in a harness, so there's really no risk.
It was actually pretty high. There was one spot you could stop, and then you can keep going higher. And once I got to the one, I'm like, I'm done. This is no need.
Where did you do this?
In Alaska. They had like a, you know, like a, we went that zip lining thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the zip line, they said, oh, you know, we've got, because they think that if you're.
How was the zip lining?
Awesome. Very cool.
There was no halfway through, why am I doing this?
No, that was fun. That's really fun. I would do that. In fact, okay, I won't say it because it was on my last vacation, but.
Yeah, because it's not relatable.
Yeah. But at least I guess I could talk about previous ones. This one, the zip lining is really fun, although it's kind of scary because they really don't do much. It was all in these trees in this forest and. You know, when you get to the end, you're going pretty quick, and they just had like a mattress to like sort of hit you.
How else would you stop? Are there braking systems on some of these?
Well, there wasn't. I don't remember hitting a brake. I just remember coming in and hitting this mattress, and then like my wife had to sort of grab me. But it was fun.
Great, but not the
wall climbing. I didn't see the point of it. Where am I going?
Tomorrow, Eric Childress will be in to review these movies at around 5 o'clock. Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, If I Stay, When the Game Stands Tall, says, in parentheses, haven't seen.
But he's still going to review it.
That'll get a mention.
He'll still review it.
And then he has smaller titles, The One I Love, The Trip to Italy, and then smaller releases.
Wow.
Are You Here? The One I Love, The Possession of Michael King, The Trip to Italy. Oh, that's listed in both, I'm sorry, as a smaller title. So he's busy.
Man, he's even doing lesser-known titles. And...
Yeah. Art films. Andrew.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
I got a friend of mine who works for the National Park System, and he's out in Utah. But I was talking to him about, I don't know, 6 months ago or so, and he's telling me that on average there's about 125 deaths a year at the Grand Canyon. And, you know, we went out there, my family, about 5-6 years ago, and he tells me this now, but I mean, and I said, well, you never hear about it. And he said, well, it's nothing to publicize, but the biggest reasons are two things. Number one, people are taking photos, and a lot of it, and I don't want to, you know, categorize or stereotype, but a lot of the people who tie are Asian people from Japan, and people who get off the donkeys. When they tell them, when you're going down the path, don't get off the donkeys, people get off the donkeys, and when they get off the donkeys, they fall off the side of the cliff. And it's amazing that you never hear about these deaths. You think that, you know, there'd be a section in the paper, you know, or you'd see it in the paper every once in a while, but I never knew that there were that many unpublicized deaths at the Grand Canyon. But
why Japanese people? Why are they more prone to this?
Well, a lot of them come over here, and they go to the Grand Canyon, and they want to take photos, and they take photos, and they back up, and they fall off. It's the honest to God's truth. And I told him, I said, you're kidding me. And he said, I'm telling you, probably 50% of the deaths are Asian people who come here from Japan or China.
They go right to the edge there. I don't know what they're thinking. There's the edge, and then it's all the way down. Why can't you stand about 10 feet this way? The picture will look the same.
Yeah, I was there, like I said, about 6 years ago, and my daughter and I started hiking down. And after about an hour, I said, stop. I can't do this. I mean, I was beyond just nervous, and we turned around. And it took us 2 hours to come back up, an hour that took to go down. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But a terrible place. But
yeah, it's something where common sense should kick in. I think Bibble said they should put a fence around the whole Grand Canyon.
They should.
Yeah.
So this way you don't fall down.
Right.
You could still get the picture.
Well, how come there aren't any fences around all of the CPAL stops? How many people are falling in a year around the CPAL stops with the electric third rail? You just got to use your brain.
There's the track. So, there's the edge of the platform.
Right.
Now, figure it out.
Right.
All right, Andrew, thank you.
Okay.
Well, they do Grand Canyon trips with donkeys. You walk down into the canyon on a donkey.
Is somebody guiding you?
Oh, yeah. You go in a little train, a little caravan, but there's somebody guiding you. But I don't care. You know how that has to hurt for 2 hours on a donkey? And then you got to go up on this poor donkey?
This text to 312-521-8600. You two are always sober. Way to relate to your listeners. That's true.
Based on who's been calling.
Earlier in the show, there was a discussion about, are any of the listeners sober? At least the callers seem to all, except Andrew, seem quite sober. A lot of the callers seem inebriated.
You are number one with AA.
Just don't drink and drive.
Yeah, that's what's sad when you're talking to some of those guys. Every time you ask that question, they say, well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I can't say I haven't.
Yeah.
Oh, great. All right, I was looking over old notes, and that's where I remembered that I'd written down Get the Pyramids in Gary, Indiana. That was a year ago.
Did you just happen to fall upon that?
Yeah, I was just flicking through some
pages.
You weren't
looking back for specific data.
No, I like to jot things down because I know I won't remember them. Like Mass Burning of the Fetishes, which
it's a classic.
I wrote down because I knew in 2 weeks after I saw that I wouldn't remember it. That is related to the Ebola breakout because this one spokesperson said several years ago, we try to do everything we can to make sure everybody's good, like the Mass Burning of the Fetishes. Wow. Because some of these people are going to witch doctors to get cured.
Well, that's their culture.
And then this one, I was talking about India not having toilets. And when they do have them, they don't want to use them because they don't think they should eat and live in the area where they relieve themselves.
It's a religious kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
Some goofy thing.
Yeah.
And then they go out to these fields where they defecate and exchange gossip, which is one and the same.
Well, what are you going to do? You're just sitting there.
You're shooting the, you know what, literally and figuratively.
I don't know if you're shooting the breeze, but you're...
No, I didn't mean Breeze.
Oh, okay.
Shooting the S word.
So do you have any old ones?
Let me see what
old
I got
thoughts
here.
From Jack
article,
Handy?
Article says, Wrigley baseball. Wrigley is baseball's living dinosaur.
Oh.
I saw that somewhere.
Maybe that was about last year. Was this last year or earlier this year?
This was a year ago.
Yeah, maybe that's when the whole thing was going on with the rooftops.
Oh, the Standards released the Kraken.
The perennials.
Yeah, oil the bobcat.
What do you do with all those?
I keep them in a drawer.
But I mean, do you have them from past incarnations?
Yes.
Or just
well,
WGN?
I started this at CKG.
Oh, so that's you never did it before?
No. And now I write everything on one page, topic wise, and then the opening
every
on
day.
Another page. And
so how many does a one like pad?
One tablet,
like how many shows?
Say one started here June 5th, 2013. The last entry on this tablet was July 25th.
So about a month and a half.
Yeah.
So you've got everything from the 7 months at CKG and then the 5.5 years here?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where are they?
In drawers.
Wow.
Here, this is from July 25th, 2013. Top 10 campaign slogans Anthony Weiner can use.
Anthony Weiner.
To run for mayor of New York City.
Wow.
Number 10, are you tired of the same old junk? Number 9, my wife is buying my crap. Why can't you? Number 8, I got your Big Apple right here. Number 7, I said I'd clean up the streets, not my tweets. Number 6, at least I'm not Geraldo Rivera. Number 5, hi, I'm Tony. Have you met little Tony? Number 4, you haven't sent a naughty selfie to a lot of young women. Number 3, why should the One World Trade Center building be the only thing erected in New York? Number 2, I promise I'll keep my pants on starting now. And the number 1 campaign slogan Anthony Weiner can use to run for mayor of New York City, what you see is what you get, even if you don't want it.
So that was a year ago.
July 25th of last year.
Wow.
Matt.
Hey, Gary, you ought to keep all those notes and all that stuff in the jar where you keep the face, you keep the face in the jar, that you keep in a jar by the door.
All right, Matt, what do you got? You tried on that one.
I'm going to tie this whole drinking thing to a giraffe joke. Because you were talking about giraffes yesterday, because the lady got kicked in.
Right, the lady got into the giraffe enclosure in Madison, and the giraffe licked her and kicked her.
Yeah, giraffe walks into a bar and says, I'll have a tall one. The highballs are on me.
Jesus, Matt. Okay, I think I heard that in grade school. Remember when they were looking for a new host of that Channel 11 show, Dinner Please or Pass the
Check
Dinner?
Please.
Check Please.
Pass the Dinner.
And she was referred to the woman who...
Dioro, whatever her name
whatever
is.
Whatever. Yeah. And I wrote this down because I like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
She's a munch maven.
Munch maven.
Yeah. That's one of my favorites.
Right. Yeah, you were using that one quite a bit.
She's the new munch maven.
Yeah, I don't even know her name anymore.
I wonder if that show, I don't know how much fizz it had before, but...
We used to watch it quite a bit, but I'll be. I'm not really crazy about her.
You Gone Done Did It Now.
You Gone Done Did It
When
Now.
The Help came out.
Right.
Wrote that one down. When Orion was part of the show, I would always say, now here's Orion with his financial erotica. And I think you slipped up and said this. Instead of dumbfounded, you said dumbfounded.
Dumbfounded, right.
Yeah. And popular. It's very popular. For some reason, I wrote down Bearded Dragon. I don't know what we were talking about.
Bearded Dragon. Wow.
And that woman who did that Prancercise. Remember she was
yes.
popular for a
right.
cup of coffee?
Yeah, yeah.
That weird woman dancing down the street, yeah. Prancercise.
Yeah. These really are time capsules when you think about it.
Yeah, these are evergreen, as we say.
Yeah. I mean, the Anthony Weiner thing, that seems 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's not seem like last summer,
just
but that's when
summer.
He was.
Wow. I mean, that's really an eye-opener.
Veranda of Mecca. I would say I'm broadcasting from the Veranda of Mecca in the Showcase studio. Not the People's Puppet.
Not the People's Puppet. Well, that was, wasn't that, what's his name too? Dave Kaplan?
Dave Kaplan raved out.
Yeah.
And he used that. So I wrote that one down. All right, so that's what's happening from the past year.
So you keep all of those, though. Wow.
Well, the ones...
You didn't lose any, did you?
I did when I had this one producer. When
right,
I,
so you did those. That's what I was wondering.
This
were
one
those,
tablet. We went over to the United Center.
Just one tablet?
Yeah. It was the tablet I was using that day.
Oh, so just that one.
Put everything in a bag after the show because I was staying for the game. And he said, well, I'm going back to the office. I'll drop the bag off at the office. I said, okay, that's great. Next day, I'm looking for my tablet, my headphones.
Where's my tablet?
Everything was in the bag. I go to him and I said, hey, yeah. I lost it. I mean, it was that casual, too, in tone. I lost it.
No, sorry. No, I'm looking for it.
No.
I'll buy a new one.
I lost it.
Lost it.
Go okay, on. Thank go you.
On. Hope you didn't need anything in there.
Her name is Alpana Singh. That's, no.
No.
That was the former host.
The current host is, I don't even know what her,
they did that.
I know she's Italian.
They did that big search, and they had people
yeah, they had
submit
like,
tapes.
They had three.
And then they showed
people.
The four finalists. And when I looked at that, I could tell who they were going to pick.
Oh, you knew that a mile
I mean, come
away.
On. Yeah. They had the guy.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a guy.
No.
They had that older woman.
Yeah, they had Ina.
Right. I knew they wouldn't go for that. No. You could tell.
Well, this one is attractive. Nice breastles. It's in the way that they are taking some shots, it's really gratuitous
yeah,
now.
It's TV. They're what more do you need to know?
There's a camera I've never seen on a TV show before. An angle. From the side, and she's wearing. She always wears these very tight tops, at least. And it's
okay.
Like, where did you put the camera there? I've never. When Alpina was the host, I never saw the camera from that angle.
Okay. TV.
Yeah.
The abandoned sandals of fleeing children. That's another one of my favorites. That's
all right.
That phrase came from a story where a gorilla got out of a cage at a zoo.
Oh, right.
And the reporter said, and all that you could see was the abandoned sandals of fleeing children. Right. And I like the sound of that. And then this one, Shubumpkinfish.
Wow.
That guy that called and said he was catching Shubumpkinfish, I think it was in Indiana.
Oh.
That's what I remember about that, but I wrote that down.
That's
Klaatu Barata Nikto.
Oh, that's yeah. That was a huge,
perennial.
That was about, for a good 2 weeks, that was a major part of the...
This one I wrote down, and I think it was about the teachers union or whatever, a spokesperson, it could have been Karen Lewis, could have been somebody of that ilk, create education better. They said that. And it was something to do with the educational system.
I think it was during the strike.
Right.
Yeah.
Create education better.
I think somebody was like doing one of those speeches with the megaphone.
We got to create education better.
Yeah, somebody was giving the
Oops,
speech.
That doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Was that only a year ago? That school strike?
Okay, I'm looking at the date here.
Wow.
June 19th of last year.
So that was only last summer when all that was going on.
Yeah.
Wow, doesn't it seem like it was...
Well, everything seems...
Yeah, but that really...
Like it's a long time ago, but...
I think I saw something on the news that that Wiener is opening up a restaurant of some kind.
And I write this stuff down, too, in the margins. Hawks win last night in Boston to clinch Stanley Cup. June 25th, 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you see who they just signed as a backup goalie? They signed the goalie who gave up the winning goal to Kane on the Flyers, the first
really?
Stanley Cup. Yeah.
Maybe he has the puck.
That was the first question they asked him. And he said, the last time I saw it, I kicked it out of the net. Because if you remember, it was remember how it went in a weird spot and it was kind of tucked,
right?
Because
it was a laser and
yeah.
the angle
yeah.
and everything else it was impossible, but he did it.
And so when the puck landed, it was almost in the bunting of the net in the back. And so he said, the last time I saw it, I kicked it because I lifted the net up and kicked it out, and then I saw it, and then I don't know where it went.
Yeah, okay.
Because everybody wants to, they all assume that there's this one linesman who skated away with it. But no one wants
or the ref.
Well, that's what I mean, the referee.
Oh, sorry, the linesman.
Yeah, and no
I think
one,
of a line. He must be a player.
No.
Okay,
but no one wants to admit it. But he's not. He's going to start out in Rockford.
Listen to this quote. Speaking of hockey, I grew up in the Stan Mikita, Bobby Hull era, and I think Bobby's looking down on this team with great admiration.
But Bobby's alive.
Yeah, Mayor Emanuel said that.
Oh, oops.
Yeah, he's
big hawk.
I admit I might not know a lot about all this stuff, but geez, I know Bobby Hall's alive.
Well, see, that's what we're saying.
And the great thing about this game,
I remember when I was at a bar on Rush Street after we won the cup over in 61.
Don't mention any names beyond that, okay?
There were three whores.
All right.
And so then what's his name went with one of the whores, and then I said I'm not going.
Okay, that's right. Cold steel on ice.
We need you.
Chicago necklace. That's from Chicago PD.
Oh, right.
Where you wrap a chain around somebody and throw them in the river.
Well, that's got to be this year, then.
Let's give them a Chicago necklace.
The savages. Gee damn savages.
But we're
he's
not.
Back, right?
We have Art.
He's back.
Yeah. Jason Begay.
Detective
Love that
Voight.
Show. Love that show. What did you say, Les?
I said we're not savages because we have art, and we're getting more of it. So we got culture.
Make it that library, too.
Okay. What do you got, Leslie?
American forces in Iraq are once again targeting Islamic State militants.
A slum state.
Millionaire.
Islamic State militants. You know, this group better get their act together and figure out their name. Because the president calls them ISIL.
Right.
They ISIL. Were originally ISIS.
That's one of the Von Trapp kids.
Yeah. And now they just want to be the Islamic State, so there just is. And that's
like
not
that.
Working for
ISIS
them.
Is cool.
Yeah. Well, they're not so cool after all.
How about Snoop Lion? We'll just call him that.
ISIL sounds like one of the kids in Fiddler on the Roof.
No. Von Trapp.
Okay.
Sound of Music.
ISIL.
airstrikes were ordered against the group despite threats from them for the group responsible for beheading American journalist James Foley. Two teens and another boy were critically wounded in two shootings this afternoon on the south side. The incidents occurred within 20 minutes of each other, do not appear to be related, but police are investigating. And Hostess Brands announced today that it'll close its Schiller Park Bakery in the fall. The facility's been producing Twinkies for about 84 years there and employs approximately 400 workers. It's pretty quiet now on the area expressways, well, quieting down at least. The Eden southbound's not bad. Inbound side, about 37 minutes from Lake Cook to Montrose. Kennedy outbound's 35 to the airport. Inbound side at 39. Ike westbound's a half hour to Mannheim. Inbound 36. The Stevenson at 40 minutes between 355. They're still working a disabled semi on the ramp from northbound I-55 to northbound 355. Ryan southbound's about 25 to 95th, and nothing too unusual happening on the tollways. Your forecast? Partly cloudy tonight, so a few widely spaced thunderstorms possible, low around 70. Tomorrow, thunderstorms in 85. Friday, morning rain, then partly sunny. Storms popping up again late with a high of 93. Saturday, mostly sunny and 91. Sunday, mostly sunny and 93. I'm Leslie Keiling, WGN.FM.
I made this note, and let me look at the date. December of last year when the Bears played the Cowboys, and one of the broadcaster says that the Bears have a soft box. Remember they had that soft box during the game?
Yeah.
Oh, they got a soft box.
The pocket.
You need a harder box if you're going to win this game.
Well, everybody
that
does.
Doesn't sound right.
Well, that's what I wrote it down because I thought, oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that.
Well, it's a personal preference.
But that's a technical term that these broadcasters use when they're doing football.
Yeah, it's a soft box. It's a soft,
soft
pocket.
Box.
Soft pocket.
All right. Had to write that one down, though. And can I tell the little story that you told last break off the air about this get-together? I thought it was pretty funny the way you constructed that. Apparently, the radio station is doing an outing at Wrigley Field tonight if the puddles are all gone.
Right.
And Leslie's going on and on. I think it's good to promote that harmony within and
do some more station activities.
Right. Everybody gets together.
I've said that in the past because there are a lot of people here that I've never been introduced to.
She's like, I'm not going to talk out of both sides of my mouth.
Right.
And I encourage it. I have to say that it's something I approve of. And I go, oh, are you going? No. The way you built that up, no.
It's not for me.
Nothing
there. No interest.
No.
Testing now.
Go.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
A man who is known far and wide for his after-dinner talk.
Take that.
Good evening, Hong Kong and St. Louis. Breaking news. Rudy Chavez was arrested in Albuquerque after breaking into a home and holding a man hostage. And he stole cash, a TV, and the guy's car. Before that, Rudy held the victim at gunpoint while he, Rudy, showered and shaved.
Yeah. Okay.
How do you hold someone hostage while you shower and shave? When Rudy did a "How's your father" in the shower, that's when you grab his gun. Or when he shaves underneath his nose, don't you grab the gun then? How do you put the shaving cream on with one hand?
That's a mystery.
Developing story. The ultimate in bad timing. An elderly woman injured her arm when she fell in a 10-acre corn maze in England. The paramedics had a hard time getting her out of the maze. Go left.
Yes.
Go right.
No,
go straight.
Yes.
Left, right.
No.
Ah!
I'm going to lose my mind today.
In my head, I hear the Benny Hill music when these guys are trying to get her out of the maze. And for the grounds crew last night at Wrigley trying to put the tarp on the field.
When the hell does a baseball begin anyway, huh?
Those stories and more on 240 Minutes. I'm Gary Meyer, broadcasting from the Super G, the Streamliner, on the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago. They should just play that under all the news, because it really is just insane. That hostage thing in Harvey, what the hell was that all about?
I mean, and it went all through the night,
oh,
20
yeah,
hours.
Oh, yeah, didn't end until this morning. What the hell was that deal?
And it's funny, because I saw this morning about 5 o'clock, I was watching the news, and they were still there. And so Tom Dart was on, because he was out there as one of the negotiators, and he would never say hostage takers.
Why?
I don't know. He was saying the people.
People
have,
of interest?
The people. No, he was just saying the people have to realize that nothing good can come of this, and the people. He never said hostage takers. So I wonder if that's some new kind of.
Oh,
you know, process that we can't.
Yeah, you can't say suspect now.
Yeah.
You can't say Sputnik either.
Sputnik.
You got to say person of interest.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Yeah, he would not say the hostage takers or whatever you would call them that would have some kind of a criminal.
Or were there two guys or one guy taking?
Two guys.
Two guys. These are men in an abode with company.
Right.
With the door locked.
Yeah.
Or however you want to phrase that.
It was so obvious that he was skirting that word. Because the first thing he would say is, we've been talking to the hostage takers, right? Isn't that what you would call them? Hostage takers.
That's
right?
What I would call them, yeah.
And he kept saying the people. And I'm like, come on.
I mentioned Bearded Dragon, and I didn't remember in what context I had filed that away. It says on this text, and I'm pretty sure this is right, at 312-521-8600, it's because that guy wanted to walk his Bearded Dragon, but it was too cold during the polar vortex. I think, yeah, that's where it came from. I can't walk my Bearded Dragon. It's so cold. What if Eddie Schwartz did Check, Please? That would be nice. If he was alive.
He'd just do it by himself. He wouldn't even need the three people.
Yes.
And then I went here.
Yes. And let's review. Hot coffee is hot. Killer whales kill. Thin ice is thin. Fire eating is dangerous. Wild animals are wild. Apes go ape. Sharks live in the ocean. And wildfires are wild. And rock climbing is dangerous. We can add that one, too. If you know those things, and something about the Grand Canyon, and the edge of the Grand Canyon is the edge.
Is steep.
Is steep, yeah. The last step is a Lulu, whatever you need. A guy who called and said that about 120 people fall off the edge there every year at the Grand Canyon.
I remember when we went there was some little kid that was way too close for my comfort. I was staying way off to the side, and this little kid was running up, and I'm like, what? Isn't anybody around here to, you know, it's not your place to.
No, not your kid.
Yeah, but, it was scaring the heck out of me.
And before you know it, you're over the edge.
Yeah, there's no turning back.
No, not usually. There's not a big inflatable pillow down there.
Yeah, like in the cartoons when they jump over a cliff and then their feet run so fast that somehow they get back.
Yeah, that's only in cartoons.
That doesn't happen. Shaggy and Scooby did that quite a bit. They would always run in the air and then make it somehow back to the...
This notation, Irish travelers or gypsies, and this would be the time of year where they would come to your house and say that they will resurface your blacktop driveway, and then they'll just put Hershey's chocolate on there and charge you several hundred dollars before you realize it.
It'll smell good.
Yeah. Irish travelers. There's always a story. Usually they're caught in some parking lot, usually in Indiana, because they just duped somebody out of something, and they're referred to as, well, they used to be gypsies, and that's another, maybe that's politically incorrect.
Yeah.
Irish travelers.
But isn't that even more of a kind of a racist thing? Why you're making them now sound Irish?
Right.
Isn't that?
Why can't they just be gypsies?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe gypsies have a stronger union now.
You're replacing one stereotype with another, aren't you?
Oh, well, that's what I wrote down, so that's what they are.
Well, it must be if you wrote it down.
Yeah, but it's official.
If it's in your tablet, then.
All right, where's that story about the pasta?
Oh, with the picture?
What's that?
The guy, I don't know. I'm assuming you're talking about pasta thing we were talking about yesterday. Like, I want to take a picture with the pasta strainer? No, this is different.
No, this is something where Erin's not even here, and I still can't get this organized. It's not like she makes it difficult. It's just that there are so many stories.
Did you lay them out?
No, Keith did, because Erin's not here.
Maybe he knows where it is.
You have any idea where that story is about the pasta that's named after Nazis? I can't see it with a quick check here.
I think he's going to reprint it.
All right. Well, while he's looking for that, apparently the grounds crew was booed at Wrigley last night.
I told you they made a major mistake.
I know, but they were booed?
Well, if you're sitting there for 4 hours because of the mistake they made.
Every now and then they have somebody that gets run over by that big tube. I've seen that before where they don't start, at least some people in the middle don't start running fast enough. They don't grab their handle properly.
And then they have, like, those bad Dockers on. You know, they're all with those, in their shoes. The guys that roll that tarp out, they have, like, a polo shirt and Dockers on. It just doesn't seem.
Are they the same guys that drag that cyclone fence around?
No, that's a different guy.
That's a different group.
Yeah. The guys that pull out the tarp are like this little brigade of kind of, I don't even know, but they're all wearing Dockers.
The ones that pull the chain link fence around with the rope, is that homemade or is that a product you could buy?
It does look like
they made them.
It does look very homemade.
Right, in the little warehouse they have there.
Some guy goes, hey, look what I did in my garage last night.
All line up in that angle and then they just walk around. I have this idea when I see that. How much can they pay these guys, or is it a volunteer thing?
Do they
do other things, or is that a specialty?
You know,
is that like a special team situation?
Well, no, I think the grounds crew is the grounds crew.
They're part of that.
Right. I mean, the guys that you see pulling those things and watering and laying the lines down.
That's the whole deal. They take care of the grass.
Yeah,
and
I think those are pros.
The guys that pull the tarp, that's...
I think
a special unit?
Yeah, that's a special kind of Minutemen unit. They sit around on the side, and then all of a sudden...
So that's your only job, and you didn't do that right.
Yeah.
Also, the one about the armored car. Where they left the money on top of the armored car. I always like those stories. From brown curry served in a toilet-shaped bowl to phallic-shaped popsicles, Taiwan has no shortage of wacky eats. But an Italian restaurant in New Taipei City has crossed the line from creative to outright offensive and has come under fire for naming a dish, Long Live the Nazis.
Oh.
What's your specialty tonight? Well, we have a lovely pasta called Long Live the Nazis. When we were deciding on a name for this pasta dish, it never occurred to us that the word Nazi would stir up such controversy. They always say that. And there's been another story. Another story recently with the same kind of tone.
Never knew the swastika.
Who's offended by this?
I wouldn't think the swastika was still kind of a symbol that brought people uncomfortableness.
The 24-year-old manager of the restaurant, who offered a sorrowful apology over the restaurant's lack of sensitivity, said that. German connection to the pasta dish, in which German sausage is the primary ingredient. There was also a pizza that went by the same name. Mr. Chow, perfect, name theory, said in the year that the restaurant has been selling the dish, a year now it's been selling this, it hasn't had any complaints. In fact, it is considered one of our most popular dishes. A local TV station aired the story about the dish last weekend, and then they got a lot of complaints.
There you go. The guy thought he was doing himself a favor by getting some free publicity, and now it's all this.
Imagine that on the menu. Oh, I see under your pastas, you have tortellini, spaghetti, long live the Nazis. And how is that served?
Can I have that with a lasagna, too, please?
Jeez.
Would you like that as a side or a full portion?
Wow. The restaurant has changed the name to Long Live Purity.
Whoa, that's even weirder.
Can't believe that people are offended.
Okay, but you know...
Been serving it for a year.
But by the fact that they changed it to purity,
you know,
that's a Nazi thing,
it's
too.
It's in the same vein.
So it's not like he's clearly... He had an agenda here. He didn't say, you know, long live the king. You know, he changed it to something that still connotes Nazism.
That's what I'm talking about as far as the Benny Hill music, because everything is upside down.
Yeah.
This story out of New Jersey, nearly $21,000 is missing after the cash fell from the roof of an armored truck that had picked it up from a soon-to-be-closed casino. Well, that's not going to help.
Oh. Someone's going to come knocking at their door.
Surveillance video showed the bag holding the cash on the rear driver's side roof as the truck left Revel. The bag was still on the roof when the truck pulled away. It's not clear where the bag fell off. I may, in my entire driving career, have left maybe a to-go cup on the roof and forgot about it. But if I got $21,000, I'm going to have that in my hand, put it right on the seat.
I did leave a pillow one time.
Okay, but these guys, that's what they do,
that's
is move
job.
Cash.
Yeah, I don't. It wasn't like I always
had. You
got
the $21,000?
Yeah.
No, do you have it? No. Where is it? Oh, it must be up on the roof. Let me get it. But it was up there, and then they took off, and now they don't know where it is.
And I can't believe that putting it on the roof is procedure.
Yeah, that seems kind of loose.
So they're already...
Don't you have it in your hand?
Yeah, they're already breaking rules. I'll just throw it up here while I sip on my
But then
Starbucks.
After you open the door, what did you do? You just got in? It's on the roof. Yeah. You open the door so you could do that. You put that on the roof.
Yeah.
And then you open the door, and then you got in?
Don't you go, geez, aren't I doing something after I open this door?
I open this door.
Yeah, why did I do that?
I get money all day. Where's my money?
I wonder how stringent the hiring for that job is, because, you know, it doesn't, on its face, you don't need to be a brain surgeon. But it is a very responsible job. But it's a very tedious job. So I don't think that you have to be...
All right, but that's true of a lot of jobs. This one, you're just moving cash to and fro. It's like Starbucks not having decaf coffee ready. That's all you do. Can't you do that? And with the doors that open up on these armored trucks, you hear that about once a year and money flies out. My trunk lid has never just popped open. I'm not hauling any cash. But how many times?
Well, the only thing I would give him a break on, I bet you that job is very tedious. And so you're doing the same thing 17, 20 times a day. And so maybe you get a little lax. But you can't afford to get lax. You can't do that. I don't care how tedious your job is. That's like working on the assembly line. It's too important.
That story I opened up with, the guy who held the guy hostage and took a shower and shaved. That one. Now, I didn't add this, and it's for comedic purposes. The guy he took hostage for a while before he stole his car and TV and cash was 93 years old. So maybe that's why he couldn't grab the gun, because if the guy's in the shower, he's not standing in the shower holding the gun on him, is he? Right? Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay.
When he's shaving, when I shave, I got to push the deal down to get the shaving cream with one hand onto the other.
Right.
You got to put the gun down there.
Yeah, that's true. Unless he just went commando and just
went right
cream.
From can to face.
Didn't do cream. Just a little water.
It seems like there are opportunities to knock the gun down.
Oh, yeah. In the shower. Yeah, there's.
Right. You push the shower curtain in and wrap him in that.
When he's toweling off. You're completely vulnerable.
Gun is down.
Yeah, you can't.
That one I didn't get at all.
You can't be holding the towel and the gun at the same time.
And then that woman who fell in that maze, and they had to get her out of the maze. It's a 10-acre corn maze, and she falls. Think about that. It's comedic gold. She falls in the middle of the maze, and they go in, hut, and then you've been in these corn mazes,
yeah. Those are fish,
especially during Halloween. Okay, nope, can't get out there. Oh. Can't get out there.
Dead end.
Can't get out there.
Dead end.
What are the chances?
Well, that's when you need a drone. Go above and say, there she is. She's there, in quadrant four.
Right. But they do have, I've noticed, they do have a little blueprint now printed out at the front of the maze, because they probably have had this problem, at least people getting lost, where they say, take this, and when you go in there, at least keep an eye on the openings.
Yeah. Those are fun, though.
But, I mean, if push comes to shove, why don't you just crawl over the...
Yeah, it's not,
walk
it's
through.
Not, it's not concrete.
Do, right, do a through. Field of dreams and just walk right through.
Exactly. Well, you don't want to disturb the corn.
That, or they have bales of hay. Just crawl over that. Get off on the other side.
That is frustrating, though. Have you ever been in one of those?
Yeah.
And have you ever been sort of gotten where...
They haven't been that big, but I can see where...
I've hit a few dead ends a few times. You're like, okay, come on.
Yeah, that's your fall activity. That'll be coming up
in
about a month or so.
Where do you go, to Bangstrom's?
Bangstrom's.
Yeah.
Yeah. In
Homer Glen?
Homer Glen. They got these huge pumpkins that they sell. They have a good crop of pumpkins. They have the pig races.
I'd like to see that.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, really? They take celebrity names and then twist them to make them fit the pig.
I've never seen that. I'd love to see that.
Johnny Pork or whatever. Johnny Depp Pork. I don't have a good example. Don't press me.
My wife is just in our backyard in four different spots in our she planted pumpkin seeds.
Growing your own pumpkins.
So we're going to grow I don't know what the gestation is, but at this point, a few of them, there's big leaves that have come out.
Now,
we don't have the vines. I guess they somehow come out of the ground, right? They don't grow in the ground, do they?
No, they'll come out.
So who knows? We may have some pumpkins.
Probably not. Jim? Doesn't sound like you did it early enough. I don't know.
Oh, you?
I don't know.
You there? Am
I'm here. Yeah, hello. Go, buddy.
Yeah, okay. Back to the Wrigley tarp thing. I live 6 miles directly west of Wrigley, and that rain did come in like a monsoon, because the house I live in, you normally don't hear the rain come down, and I could tell it was coming in, so I don't watch the Cubs game, but I did flip on the channel just as the rain started coming down. And if you can get a replay of this, I don't know if it's possible, but if you watch, they said that the umpires were informed that it was just a squall and it wouldn't last long. And then when they decided to bring the guys that bring the tarp out, they were gassed when they came out of there. They were all, you know, the first seven guys grabbed that left part of the tarp. They left one guy in the middle, and then they had like two guys on the other end, and they got the thing halfway out there, and everyone was all gassed, and the thing was all waterlogged. It was hilarious. You got to watch the video.
That's why I said you got to play the Benny Hill theme while you're watching it. And I thought remember they had got this new drainage system in a couple years ago that was supposed to prevent this kind of stuff.
Well, 15 minutes of rain and everybody's all screwed up. What are you going to do?
Yeah, and the Giants are PO'd because they're in the hunt, and now they lost that game officially.
Well, can you imagine if they would lose that division by one game?
Well, that will be interesting, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's Wrigley for you, baby. That's where we roll, man.
That's the goofiness of Wrigley. 100 years of weird juju.
Yeah, nonsense galore. Love it.
They blaming Bartman on this, too?
Hope not.
Thank you.
You're great, Gary. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, you know, the thing is, like, in that group that pulls it out, now that he said that, you know, they're really not in the great shape. They're kind of like oddly shaped young guys. They're not like, so to pull that, you know, it takes something to pull that out and to run with it at the same time quickly. And so they really should get guys that are in better shape.
Okay.
Because a lot of times they look like, you know, they shouldn't be doing athletic things.
Okay.
They look nice, and they're Dockers and everything, but they're not really athletic. They need some well-toned guys, as this is now an example of, that you need to get that thing out
so
there.
So the funny thing is you roll that tube out, and that gets it
out there.
Out there,
but then
and then
you've
got to grab those handles and spread it out. It seems, like I said earlier, it seems 100 years old as far as that's all they can do. They can't do it a more efficient way.
I can't believe they don't have something that is just electronic, that is in the grass and comes up and covers it. And I'm sure they could have something that's...
Something electronic where you push a button and it goes out on its own.
Yeah. And it's in the, you know, it's probably out in the outfield somewhere, but it covers itself up so there's not a bump that's going to hurt somebody or something like that. But this way it just comes out and at least spreads to a point where then I can...
How about this? Like a convertible top on a car where a plate opens behind the infield when the rain starts and this big top comes out and flops down on there.
Right.
Like a convertible top.
Like a big dome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool. It's better than this, believe me.
So I guess you heard my big sports breaking news.
No.
Are we talking about the tarp?
Yeah.
What news?
Because of the problem with the tarp at last night's game, the Giants, I guess, appealed.
Really?
And won. So the league has decided that the Cubs and Giants will play the last four innings of that game starting at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Wow.
Well,
because it wasn't technically the weather, it was
a mishap,
a technical problem.
Right.
So, yeah, they appealed and won.
If the Giants weren't in the hunt, this would not matter. But they said, wait a minute, we got to play these games to the end.
I don't blame them. Well, that's why, in theory, they were waiting till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Although, if the Giants were winning,
then what?
After 4.5,
it would have been good with them.
Yeah who cares?
Yeah.
Then the Cubs.
See ya.
Then what do the Cubs do? Because they can't complain because it was their own grounds crew.
They let it go. They take the loss because it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Wow, that's... Well, good for the baseball.
From what I'm hearing, these appeals never...
No, that's why...
Never work.
Never,
yeah.
That's why I'm saying good for baseball for actually stepping up to the
good
plate.
Good for them. I hope they all do the ice bucket challenge. I challenge them.
Well, I would be, if I was in the hunt, you know, this is a 7-month season, 162 games. And if I'm in the hunt here, and it's because of your out-of-shape grounds crew here, that's not right.
This text says, looks like the grounds crew has the Bibble body type, according to what they've seen in cartoon form. Electronic pool covers. You know those pool covers?
Exactly. Exactly. It comes out.
On a button.
Clean.
And if they'd have to do it in the outfield, I'm sure that they could find it in some way that they do that. That it comes out where it wouldn't be a discernible bump, so the outfield wouldn't be in danger if you're running or as a base hit.
Something electronic, it says in this text, like a roof. They're showing it on a monitor here, one of the newscasts. So the tube releases the tarp.
And then they have to pick up the tarp and then push it
the other
way. And
that's where it got bogged down.
Yeah, because it was raining so hard, then the tarp got filled with water as they were
trying to re-roll it
the other way. And then they only got it so far. And then when it was even down on some of the thing, it puddled, so they couldn't even lift it up now to push it over on the other part of the field.
That's why it seems antiquated.
It's like the Keystone Cops.
Couldn't they get the 20 people who were still sitting there to help them? No.
Was that all that was there at that time?
Well, I'm thinking at 1 o'clock in the morning, who's going to be sticking around that late? The crowd had to
they
be
said
reversing
that time,
pretty
like
steadily.
Thousand, they said there maybe were 1,000 people.
Still at the end.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, so they did have the manpower to just muscle it into a ball in the corner.
But they said the water was still pooled to the
point. Oh, yeah, the water was on the field. What they were actually bringing, they had squeegees and they had air blowers, like leaf blowers, to try to blow the water. I mean, it came down that hard, that fast, that they never caught up with it.
GM on the stream, 312-521-8600. 57% of Americans think only kids who win should get trophies.
Only 57%?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It should be 48.
40% think that all who participate should receive trophies. But that's the deal, that you get a ribbon or a trophy, even if you're in 15th place.
That's why we're in the shape we're in, this country.
Is that it?
Yeah, we've raised a whole generation that doesn't believe in competition. And so how do you get out into the real world and compete when you expect something to be given to you when you don't compete?
Or,
you've got a whole generation that's expecting to get a job without any kind of backbone.
Or you're rewarded for not doing what you need to do.
Yeah.
For mediocrity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a whole generation now.
They say that generation that was raised that way, when they get into work situations and they're not coddled,
right,
they don't know what to do because they've been so stroked and everything was beautiful and don't worry about it.
You got your helicopter parents who make everything right for you.
And when you get out in the real world, the best example of that was about 2 or 3 years ago when the, what was that? Remember the Wall Street? What was that called? Remember those people were sitting outside of Wall Street? Occupy Wall Street. And so they came by the window, and so this big group came by the window, and they all had their drums. They were beating their drums. They had a big thing. So Gary says to them, up by the window, who is your, can I speak to your spokesperson? Now, there was at least 50 or 60 people there. Suddenly, they all looked at one another. Nobody came forward.
All equal.
So then Gary says, this one girl goes, oh, well, I'll do it. So then she comes up to the microphone. Gary goes, well, what is your, what's your platform? Well, we want a job. So there you were. They were out there protesting, and then you ask them the most legitimate question. They didn't know why they were there. They didn't have any spokesman because, well, isn't there somebody else that does this?
That's what's happening.
Yeah. I bet you in 20 years from now, we were going to fall so far behind in terms of just world power. Because other countries...
Preskin is on the loose here.
Well, don't you think?
We're already behind.
But I just think that we are gonna fall behind because other countries are competitive.
Well, and they're spending time and energy on things that move them forward, where we're piddling around in all these wars and everything else.
Well, and our college students are still... And there's nothing wrong with a liberal arts background, but the jobs for the future are going to be science and technology and all those hard sciences.
Not art history.
And, yeah, we're not seeing that in the universities.
Well, they're all going to get a reality show. So what's the difference? That's the goal, right?
A lot of students, though, from other countries come to our universities, and they get in because their grade point average is off the chart.
That's right.
Because they really emphasize that, and they come over here, and they take these, I know it sounded like, well, if you didn't hit the grade point average, why should you get in? But they're flooding the universities, these higher-end universities, to the point where there aren't any available openings.
Well, and it'd be great if they came to the universities and decided, now I'm going to lay down some roots here in the United States of America, but the problem is... They finish school and then go, I'm taking this knowledge back to wherever.
To use it against us.
Well, I heard a story where a kid in his job got a bad review from his boss, and his mom called to complain to the boss.
There have been any number of stories like that where mom wrote the resume and cover letter and everything else.
It's like, how dare you give my Timmy a bad work review? It's like, this is not, I had a friend that was a teacher, and then he became a principal at a high school, and he did it for a year, and he said, I can't do it anymore. And I said, well, why? Isn't that kind of the goal of a teacher, to become a principal? He said, I did was sit in my office for 8 hours a day talking to parents as to why their kid didn't do something wrong.
It's not the kids
That's
anymore.
How I spent my whole day talking to parents saying, why is my kid out of the class? The teacher doesn't like my kid. My kid. He goes, I couldn't do anything.
It's ridiculous. This is the kind of thing I have to do.
Well, I'm just saying.
Why am I putting up with this?
I
think in all the years my daughter was in school, I went and talked to the principal once.
Yeah.
And it was more a question of, let's just have a dialogue here. I don't know that everything my daughter is telling me is 100%, but I want you aware of it. And now you, as the professional, take over from here in terms of what's going on in this classroom dynamic. But at no point did I think it was within any right of mine to tell her how to do her job. And like I said, who knows whether everything my child is telling me is 100% too. Her perception could be completely off as well.
My parents, when they sent me to the Catholic grammar school, they thought that was just part of the deal, the discipline. The beatings and everything. That's what we paid for.
And you were, if you came home and said, my teacher's picking on me, tough.
You probably deserved it.
Well, they first question is, what did you do to deserve it?
What did you do? Exactly.
312-521-8600. Molly?
Hey, Gary. How's it going?
Good.
This is the same Molly from Naperville that called in the past. I think you asked me if I rode the train.
I did?
Yeah, I remember Molly.
Yeah.
Why did I ask that?
It was when that article came out about Naperville being snobby. No, that's not why I'm calling. That's not why I'm calling today. I was just listening, and you guys are talking about, you know, the generation. What do they call us now? I think the Gen Y, and how everybody's being coddled, and you have to get a trophy for everything. And, you know, I, being from that generation, I've got to honestly say that I've gotten that prejudice and that stereotype and that reaction from older people in the workforce. And I could not disagree more. I mean, I come from, you know, a family that's a bunch of hard workers. My dad was born in West Virginia. His father was a coal miner. My dad was a coal miner. Totally the American story, you know, put his way through school, retired senior vice president of Bank of America. You know, and he instilled hard work. I, myself, I'm a Purdue graduate. I went to Purdue, graduated in 3.5 years, cum laude, was in a sorority, had a 4.0 one semester, have worked very hard, have not had anything handed to me in a silver platter, did not get a trophy for just participating and showing up. You know, so I think, I don't know, I think there's a very mixed review, and I think it's a little unfair because I've had managers in the workforce say to me, oh, well, every kid in your generation, oh, well, you guys don't know what hard work is, and you guys expect, you know, instant results. And, you know, it's kind of hard to sit there and hear that, and then, you know, you have to say, well, you know, I respect your opinion, but to be honest, that's not the case for me specifically, and I am your
And my
employee.
Mother will be calling you in a few minutes to speak for me. You have
but
to...
See, actually, not at all. I mean, it couldn't be farther from the truth. I mean, my dad's always given me the mentality of, you know, figure it out and toughen up, you know, suck it up and, you know, put your head down and work hard. And no one's ever, you know, my parents weren't the coddling type. And I think there's, you know, there's quite a few of us out there that don't have parents that coddle them.
All right.
You
and know, I, there is a lot of these sporting activities with kids where you see the whole table is full of ribbons. Everybody's walking away with something after the season's over, it seems.
No, I absolutely agree. No, I have seen that. I guess I've experienced that, sure. But, you know, I never take it seriously. I don't think I'm a winner if I'm on a losing team. You know, I think you have to learn how to lose and be graceful about it and be gracious about it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think this country is really screwed up. I mean, remember when all those protesters were out there on LaSalle and Jackson, and God, that was what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And what did they call that whole movement again?
Occupy.
I can't remember
Occupy.
Now.
The Occupy.
Thank you.
This was Occupy and Chicago,
I'll never forget, because I was working at the Board of Trade at the time, and I was walking one morning early to the office, and I saw some girl out there with an Occupy, you know, sign, and she's got on Gucci rain boots, and I'm thinking to myself, really?
So you're one of those millennials we like.
Yeah,
it's
see,
okay.
We like Molly. Molly knows what she's
you're
talking
an okay
about.
One.
Yeah.
Well, good. You got the Bibble approval. You can't get higher than that. In fact, I got this text where it says, why doesn't Bibble effing raise a child, and then he gets to complain?
This is why I didn't raise one.
That's right. He bowed out
because
he knew.
Because I would have been ostracized by the community.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't have fallen in line with everybody.
That's right. That's why he didn't have
and
a kid.
And my kid would have been ostracized.
Molly, when you were growing up and all the kids were getting the trophies and the ribbons, you knew in your heart who the winner was and who the loser was, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the thing. You can't shine kids on. They know as well as anybody that they're getting the participation ribbon and not the blue one.
But here, look at Molly.
Oh, absolutely.
Molly graduated.
I had an older brother and a dad that would say, you know, you're like, you know, you're doing a crappy job there. Like, you don't really deserve that.
Well, I have to admit. Thank you, Molly. I have to admit I was coddled. That's why I want to know where I'm trending every day. I have to be in that top three. Top
and
10 doesn't do it for me.
You made three today.
Made three.
Made three.
All right, tomorrow I can do better.
So
John?
Was higher?
Gary?
Yep.
So, well, I want to go on with your previous caller there, because I'm 26. Love listening to you, by the way. But
thank you.
You're so right, because the I mean, all my classmates, I mean, I played, you know, baseball, football, the sports. Everybody got a trophy and a ribbon. But my parents just, they refused to buy into that. So I'll never forget coming home one day with an art project. I don't know, it was maybe fourth grade. And I gave it to my mom, and she said, oh, honey, thank you, but you're never going to be an artist.
Nice.
So, they told us how it was, but, you know, I appreciated it later in life. But the whole reason I called, though, was because I work, I'm your loyal listener in Dayton, Ohio, and one of our, I work at a small liberal arts college here, and I do academic advising for incoming students. And the amount of parent calls I take is 3-to-1 for the students. I'm supposed to only deal with students, but all their parents call anymore.
Why can't the student speak for him or herself?
I don't know. They just, a lot of times the student will, you know, they'll call me and say, okay, and I'll answer some questions. And they go, okay, now here's my mom. She wants to ask you a few questions.
Oh,
and the worst one I dealt with this summer was a mother who, her son got the schedule, and he was signed up for an 8 a.m. English class. And the mother called and had torn through our entire academic catalog and found a 9 o'clock class and demanded he be put in it because, and I'm quoting, he doesn't perform well at 8 a.m.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
It's crazy. I had another parent that called the other day. And she, you know, she didn't want, or I'm sorry, it was the child who called, and she ended up putting her parent on because she broke down crying because she didn't want to take a class that wasn't in her major. I mean, it doesn't matter what the reason is. They find a reason to put that parent on, and then all of a sudden, I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, well, the 57% now, according to this research, say that everybody should not get a ribbon. Only the winners. That's what the survey says. That's how all this started.
All right, thanks, Gary. We love you in Dayton. Keep it going.
Thank you, brother.
Well, you watch this little league thing, and as soon as the team loses, the other team, you know, one team wins, the other team loses, they are crying. They are on the field crying, and those cameras are right there to catch them crying.
Okay, I was crying too, though. Did you see the inspirational speech given by one of the losing coaches to his kids?
Was that the Rhode Island team?
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, he called them all winners, but and he told them to be proud of themselves, that even though they were losers, they're still winners for having participated. And it was a balanced speech.
I think in that case, it's okay to have that emotion, because to get to that point at that age,
the adrenaline,
I mean, you don't have
the
tools to go, I know this is just a moment and I can enjoy it and blah blah. It's everything at that point,
but I
you really can't.
But haven't you learned some of your best lessons when you lost something? Didn't that make you want to work harder? When you saw what the guy that beat you was getting, didn't you say, next time I want that?
Yes, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Or else you do like Son of Us.
I'm going to get back.
You just quit.
Damn it.
No, but
damn it. What did they do?
Don't worry, Gary. We'll give you a trophy. Hall of Fame. No, but I mean, that's what's missing is I remember some of the things when you didn't win, that gave you that inspiration and that drive to say, okay, I lost this one, but I want to get that. I want to be on that first place team. I want to be on.
Here's a text, and you 60-something still blow. Hey, that's private. And this I want to announce. Will County Fair and Piatone tractor pull tomorrow, demolition derby Friday.
Now, woo-hoo! Dems good eats.
I have been to the Will County Fair.
Really?
I saw the tractor pull.
Were they blowing out big plumes of black smoke?
Yeah, when I came home, my whole face was carbon.
Okay, so I learned about this new thing this week. It's called rolling coal.
What is it?
It's where these...
Roll-in coal?
Rolling coal.
Oh,
rolling coal. It's where these guys take their diesel engines and do some little tinkering to it so they can blow out just those giant plumes of black smoke. And it's because of tractor pulls. That's where they started doing it, because it makes it look that much tougher. And now these, like, rednecks are doing it at stoplights when they've got a Prius behind them or an electric, any kind of electric hybrid. They will blow this giant plume of black smoke at them. It's like, now, come on, can't we all just get along?
Tony Stewart isn't coming by. When there's all that smoke, you won't be able to see anybody.
My dad used to always say that when we'd be on the highway. Sometimes he'd be driving too fast. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, I got to blow some carbons out of my car.
Yeah, blows the carbon out. I'm going to take it on I-80 and blow the carbon out.
Blowing out some carbons. What does that even mean?
I had a lot of carbon back then. And going fast, blew it out.
Oh, man.
Your pitch is getting higher as the show comes to an
end. Well, you know.
And one of the other things to know, this is the way to word this whole hot coffee is hot, wild animals are wild. At the edge of the Grand Canyon is a canyon. That's all you need to know. Don't go any farther because it's a long way down.
It's not the Grand Ladder.
No.
Is this another story about a selfie gone wrong?
There was
a story
about a guy that was rock climbing and fell to his death. And then a guy called and said he has a friend in Colorado, and about 120 people a year die falling into the canyon.
Oh.
They just keep going for that picture, and then kerplunk.
Well, the story that Gary read was a guy just proposed to his wife a half hour before, and then he fell off.
Oh, and then fell off the edge of a cliff, right?
No, he was climbing.
They went climbing with no ropes,
and then he fell.
That free climbing doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean,
well, now it doesn't to him either. But some of these guys, they can do it. They find the crevice. They stick their hand in it.
Oh,
it's amazing.
I don't know how you do that.
Why do you do it?
Why and how?
Because ropes are for sissies.
That could be on my list, too. Ropes are for sissies. They're going to have at some California gas pumps a way to buy lottery tickets right at the pump.
Nice.
So you know that's coming across the country. When you can just put your card in, when you're getting gas, you can get the numbers, and I guess the numbers come out on your receipt.
So will the gas station owners still get a piece of the pie? Because isn't that one of their big reasons for selling lotto tickets?
Still at their place.
Yeah, that's, I'm hoping.
Yeah, but can't ask for it to be more convenient.
I would probably buy lottery tickets then.
Because you don't want to go inside there?
Yeah, because everyone wants to do that.
Well, I do.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you're into it.
You're not.
I'm just a casual player, but if I'm there and if I have to put an extra $2 while I'm filling up gas and I can get, I'd probably buy
obviously what they found out. If you make it as convenient as possible, can't be much more convenient than being right at the pump.
Yeah, I mean, you're addicted.
Not addicted.
Well, you're not
half my income every week, but that's not an addiction.
And it's not nearly enough because our Illinois state lottery revenues are still down. Yeah. So you need to ramp it up.
You're a functional lottery player, Gary.
I'm a functional. California Lottery wants to make it easier for you to play for a chance at those jackpots. Buy tickets at the pump at certain gas stations. And let's see how they do this, if I got it all right. They've got, I believe, they're rolling out 100 of these to test it.
I would do that. They'd get me.
And then you go to the ones that have the little theater screen there so that they can tell you to not leave the pumps until you buy your lottery tickets. Friendly reminder from...
If you win anything under $600, it automatically is going to be credited to your debit or credit card.
Sweet!
Wow. It's almost like free gas.
Yeah, once you win.
Yeah.
About 150 of the play at the pump machines due to appear this fall.
And it is on the receipt. Is that what
says,
you said?
Here's how it's worded. And most people trip to the gas station, pulling out your card, so I am assuming it's your credit card receipt. That's how it seems to be worded here. I'll read this, and then we can all discuss.
I won't use my credit card or my debit card at a gas station.
You don't?
Really?
No, I'm
you
too afraid of them being, yeah.
You pay
well, they
cash?
Have had some incidents where they have that
the scanner
attachment on there. They suck your numbers.
Yeah, I've had two people I know caught with that.
You pay
where
cash
they got,
for gas?
Yeah.
How much cash are you carrying?
None of your business.
Well, I'm just saying. There's no question.
Stay away from my purse.
$60 or $70 to fill up your tank, right?
No, I have a small car.
How quickly gas pumpers would be able to buy $5, $10, or $20 worth of tickets. Let's see. Where does it say? Enter a cell phone number, and it sends a text message with the purchase numbers, which means you don't even need the numbers printed out at the pump. The pump issues a receipt, and the real numbers are stored online.
Good, because I never get a receipt.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. There's a $1 convenience fee that's going to be tacked onto that.
Here we go.
What's so okay? Well,
you so you almost
me.
Double the cost of your
right.
investment.
That's another ticket right there.
Yeah.
I could buy.
Yeah, you lost me now. It's got to be transparent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm not playing anymore. I was playing for about 10 seconds.
But you're done.
No, I'm finished.
I'm sure this is going to spread across the country if this starts to
it's a good
get
idea,
any kind
though.
Of traction.
And like
good
I said,
idea.
Because. They just fired the company that oversees right. the Illinois lottery, saying that their revenue projections were down. I mean, down
$400
a
million.
Lot.
Dollars.
Yeah. So anything they can do to start whipping up sales, I'm sure they'll
but
be right on
how board. Inconvenient is it? They're everywhere.
I know.
If you want a ticket, I mean, it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah, but you got to walk in. That's an extra stop.
I'm talking about even not gas stations, just convenience stores, liquor stores, whatever. They're everywhere. Is it that difficult?
It's a stop.
When you go to the liquor store
really?
About every other day, don't they have a lottery machine?
He's going to be in a hover round in about a week. Walking, it's just too hard.
I like convenience. Oh, boy. I think that was, to me, that's a good thing. I'm getting my gas. Boom. I'm right there. Fine. I need that. I have to stop for that. I don't need to stop for, I don't really go to, do you go to convenience stores all that much?
No.
No, but again, I have a routine.
Yeah.
There are,
you walk a lot.
There are places right around here that have them. I go there.
But you do not, walk a lot.
Okay, you should try it.
No, I'm
all right, get out, start moving the legs.
You know what's funny? When I go on vacation, I'll walk 5 miles. When I come home, I drive everywhere.
It says there's a gas station on York and Irving Park has drive through.
York and Irving? That's not far. I could do that.
All right, good. We got you in. Well, there.
Drive-through everything? Like where, like those cigarette
drive-throughs?
I
don't know. It just says drive-through, whatever that means.
Does that mean lottery ticket, though?
I
probably.
Yeah?
Probably.
You want to go in and see how thick the bulletproof glass is. I do. It's really kind of funny, the guy's in there, and there's a slot. And
well,
and they've changed those. It's not always a slot. Sometimes it's kind of like
a
revolving door.
Yeah,
and
right.
A drawer.
The drawer thing. You put your money in, pull it in, and then he puts your change or whatever.
It's
lottery
like
tickets, pushes it out.
They're working so hard to like make sure that there is no human contact whatsoever anymore.
Well, I'm actually afraid to go into these convenience stores because you see all these robberies. And there's, what are you laughing about? And
we're going to be nothing in 20 years.
No,
country's falling behind.
What are the
Ursula,
only...
you go into these convenience stores.
Well, what do you see? You see
they're
innocent,
all shoot-ups and
innocent
shootouts.
Innocent bystanders are sitting in line.
Hey, I feel that way just about everywhere these days. I always think this is going to be a pop.
I mean, I'm sitting there. When
Let's all go home and dig a bunker. What do you say?
Whenever I'm in line, when there's more than three people in a line at a convenience store, I am starting to worry. I go like, okay,
one of these
now,
guys going to pull some heat.
Is this guy behind me going to pull out a gun and say, okay, everybody, just stand to your left, and he's going to hop over, he's going to hit me in the head.
Great life he's leading, isn't it?
Well, what am I supposed to see when I see this on the screen every day?
I see this on the screen. I went to Washington. I saw it on the screen.
Definitely.
Ursula, this is
Ursula.
A crazy world.
So I was in a convenience store the other day, and an elderly woman ran in, and she said, I can't turn it off. She couldn't turn off the gas pump, and it was now creating this giant
just
puddle
just like in
underneath.
The birds.
Right.
And then a guy was lighting a cigarette.
Well, here's the thing. She walked in, and a wave of gasoline smell came with. She goes, I've got it all over me.
Oh.
And there was no question she had it all over her. And my biggest concern was looking around and making sure that the one jerk there isn't lighting the cigarette.
Up, right.
Oh,
she goes
man.
Up in flames.
No, but every time you see, the most you see of any kind of crime being committed these days, it's always the camera from a convenience store. The guy's climbing over the thing, hitting it over.
Maybe a convenience store is not your bag, but there are other stores that have these terminals.
Where? Who? Where?
Jewel?
Yeah.
Jewel sells them?
A lot of
Jewel
grocery stores have automated machines you can punch in.
Do you have to go to the service desk, or they just have it by themselves?
They've got
both, I think.
Lottery at the service desk, and then they've got the big machine.
Service desk
Now, are your fears less at a Jewel?
No, because I used to work at a Jewel, and I got held up. I got a sawed up.
All right, why don't you stay home?
Sawed up shotgun pointed right at my face. Don't move or I'll blow you away. I can remember the guy's tone, and that was when I was 17.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yeah, well.
World's much better.
Oh, yeah, it's much better now.
Don't worry about it.
The guy was a heroin addict back then. Back in the early 80s.
When heroin wasn't even fashionable.
Yeah, it wasn't even like Molly and cool stuff.
Yeah, that people enjoy now. Speaking of the lottery, the Mega was climbing. It was well over 100. Did it roll over last night?
Oh, I don't know. I was just going to ask you. Any big pots?
I was working a big pot. And I don't know if it rolled over. It was last night, and if it did, it's got to be close to 200 mil.
I haven't heard any. Oh, two.
Oh, 200 mil. I don't go to the bathroom for less than 300 mil.
Is that a game changer?
Yeah. I don't know what game you're playing.
Well, what do you get? If you won two, you get one, right?
Well, if you take it all at once, you get about half of that, then there's tax.
So what, about 50 million out of 200?
Still decent, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's a game changer.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
That's a game changer.
Thank you. What do you got, Leslie?
I don't have anything on it. I'm sorry. I'm looking.
Come on. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Tell me if it rolled over.
Boxcar.
Really,
can you see
shoes?
If you can find the mega jackpot? Somebody.
In 40 seconds.
You can buy them online, too, Hermit.
Oh,
says here in capital letters.
I never thought of that. Figures. But I don't have a printer at home.
For God's sake.
Mega Millions is at 180 million.
Wow. It did roll over.
180.
I had to get this, and then we say goodnight. When that woman cut in front of me at the self-service checkout, and then I went and got lottery tickets, I thought, well, maybe she delayed me just enough to get my quick picks, and I'll win the big one.
Or she got.
But now she's just a rat. She's back to just a rat.
And what if she got your numbers?
No, this was in a different store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that just slowed me down enough, so when I went to get the tickets...
Oh, you see the world in such big ways.
I know, I do. It's all orchestrated. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow at 3, hopefully. If you were listening at 3, the first half hour wasn't on immediately, but it will be on this replay.
And it was
I've been
gold.
Assured.
And it was gold.
Oh, it was broadcasting gold.
It was gold.
Thank you. Good night.